The following was at the Mount Zion meeting, the fourth Sunday in February 1970.
And my mind has, my thinking or my thoughts have been repeating over and over this morning, "Thus saith the Lord." And there were a good many references in the scriptures. I finally found it, because I was looking at the wrong place, but there's many references to "Thus saith the Lord." And in connection with that, there were two other scriptures that seem to be outstanding. I'd like to read them, one of them, or both of them, in Jeremiah. One of them in the 7th chapter in the first two verses. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word, and say, Hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah, that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord." I'll repeat that. "Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word, and say, Hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah, that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord." And then in the second verse of the 26th chapter of Jeremiah, "Thus saith the Lord, Stand in the court of the Lord's house, and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command thee to speak unto them. Diminish not a word." To me, there's wonderful, deep, glorious matter in these verses, as well as in all of the things in the verses that connect with it. And if the Lord is pleased to open the matter up, because it isn't open at the present time, but if he's pleased to open the matter up and give me some liberty, door of utterance, I feel like I would like to talk about some of the things connected. Now may we look to the Lord in the word of prayer. O gracious Father, our invisible God, before whom we come, who art almighty in all thy ways and works, though thou art invisible to us, and yet thou dost fill the immensity of space, and it is testified to thee that thou art nowhere absent, but ever present everywhere. We come, O Lord, because of the weakness that we feel in our flesh and our unworthiness, knowing that we're not able of ourselves to come before thy throne, and surely not in our own name. But if we're not deceived, Lord, thou hast revealed in our hearts, and it is testified by the saints of old, that there is but one mediator between thee and us, even thine only begotten Son, who came here, as thou didst send him here, for the purpose of redeeming thy people. And he being the only mediator, we come, Father, humbly hoping and trusting to come in his name, and beg of you, O Lord our God, that thou wilt yet look upon us and have pity and compassion. And though we feel to realize that thou hast been so gracious and merciful to us all the days of the years of our lives, and yet when we are brought face to face with what we are in our flesh, we realize that we are sinners, and we forget thy past mercies, and we fear to approach before thy great and holy throne. But, O Lord, we come bound, we come as humble as we know how, to beg of thee to reconcile us through thy grace unto all of the dispensations of thy providential dealings with us, that we might realize of a truth, that thou art in all of our ways, and we're in thy hands all the time. O Lord, wilt thou send forth thy spirit into our hearts this morning, lift up our drooping spirits, that we might, through thy grace and mercy and through thy spirit, be able to look beyond these things in this life, the things with which we are so intimately connected according to our flesh, but in which, O Lord, we feel that we're not deceived, that thou hast spoken in our hearts and has given us peace and joy and comfort in revealing to us that thou didst give Jesus thy Son to redeem such as we are from our sins, and as such as thou hast loved with an everlasting love from the foundation of the world. O Heavenly Father, thou knowest what we need and we don't know. But we come praying, thy will be done. Surely such as we are would not undertake to tell thee what thou oughtest to do, because we don't know what is good for us, nor what is best. We don't know what is according to thy will. But we do know that thy will is done in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And, O Lord, coupled with the fact that we such fail to realize we're such poor and worthy sinners, yet having a hope, yet having evidences of thy grace and thy mercy, and yet, O Lord, we fail to know that we are in the midst of an ungodly generation, in the midst of those who stand against the things that thou hast proclaimed through holy men of old, and against the things that thou hast revealed in the hearts of all of thy people when thou hast brought them into the knowledge of the truth, and hast given us to see, to realize something of thy power and thy glory, when thou wast pleased to reveal unto us thy Son. For thou, O Lord, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts, that we are not deceived. For the very purpose of giving us the light of the knowledge of thy glory in the face or in the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And hadst thou not been pleased to rescue us, as it were, to lead us out of that great wilderness which we were in our flesh, and brought us through, gracious and heavenly Father, many meandering seas in which we were taught, in which we were unable to see our ungodliness and how dead in trespasses and in sins we were. Had it not been for this, O Lord, thy grace and thy mercy, oh, we know not what our end should be. We know that were it not for thy grace that we today would be following after the things that seem good to men, and not be concerned with the things that thou hast pronounced in thy word, that we would not be concerned as to whether thou hadst ever said anything to us or not in thy word. We would not be concerned about it, thus saith the Lord. O Lord, how good thou art. Thou hast always provided for us the necessities of life, and yet we have forgotten so often that these things, these joys and comforts, and these wonderful and glorious blessings have come to us through thy gracious and loving kindness. But Father, keep us, if it is thy will, so that we should ever remember that it is only by thy grace that we are what we are, and not for anything that we are in our flesh, nor anything that we've ever done, because we've only sinned. And that is the height of all that we are in our flesh, is to be sinners before the God of heaven. O Lord, remember each one of us here this morning. Thou knowest what we need. Choose our changes for us, and give us such things that thou wouldst have us to have. And if it is in thy will and purpose, O Lord, that we shall, as individuals or collectively, be brought through dire troubles and sorrows and afflictions. Oh Lord, along with that, give us grace to be reconciled. And give us grace, O Lord, that we may still look unto heaven, unto our God, and realize and say within our very souls that the Lord gives and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord in all of our troubles and sorrows. For they shall work for us, O Lord, in such a wonderful and glorious way that we shall, when thou hast brought us through these trials, see the glory of thy mercy and rejoice and be exceedingly glad that the Lord has not forsaken his people. Father, be with us while we live, and then save us at last in death. We beg for Jesus' sake. Amen. I have been for many years, my friends and brethren, I hope and I believe you have too, at least many of, most of you, have been concerned about the things that God himself has proclaimed in his word, and been concerned about the whole world, as it seems, are not concerned about the things that God himself has delivered unto his people. Every man today that has not been taught of the Lord is following after the things that seem right to him. Not only naturally, but also religiously. There seems to be in the makeup of the human being a desire, some sort of a religion, some sort of a knowledge, which is only natural, of course, that there is a God in heaven, some sort of a knowledge and a desire in men to pay some homage or respect, if I may put it that way, to the God of heaven. And it always turns out, according to desires of men, that we should honor this God and do certain things in our daily living in order to call the attention of this God that we really in our flesh do not know, that we should do something to call his attention to us. That is, that we are pursuing, doing the very best we know how, and expect because of those things that God would have some degree of maybe pity, or because of our earnestness, as we often hear it said, that God would count that for our righteousness. Now, those who have been brought to the end of their own righteousness can never say or never feel that we have any righteousness of our own. David said in two or three places, as you recall with me, there is a way that seemeth right to men, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so, whoever, and there are multitudes, that pursue the way that seems right to men, and are not turned around in their mad career while they live here in the world, but always are satisfied fully that my way is all right, my way is the right way, then if they live and die with just this feeling, this understanding in their hearts, the time is coming, my brethren, when such are going to come or be brought before the God of heaven and shall see and feel and recognize that they are justly condemned. In other words, they will be brought to see what the children of God are brought to see sometime while they live in the world. that they are justly condemned sinners, but have it pronounced in their hearts and the very being that God is gracious and God is merciful and He's had pity and compassion upon me. And so the thing that is necessary, and I say the only right thing, is as we worship God, is to know what the Lord says, what is His way, what He has decreed, because all the worship of God must be according as God hath decreed. Now, and you remember that Jesus said to His apostles, those disciples there, that teaching them as they went, these apostles and these disciples, they went everywhere preaching the gospel, teaching them, those who believe and are baptized, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded thee. Lo, I'm with thee all the way, even unto the end of the world. And so the Lord is with His servants, even as He was with His apostles there. And they were to and did proclaim and did teach and did bring to the attention of the brethren and the churches wherever they went all the things that Jesus Christ commanded. And in the Old Testament, in many, many places, in Jeremiah and Isaiah, Moses, and all the other writers, as far as that's concerned, the Lord pronounced certain things, and they must be, He demanded that these commandments of His, they should be obeyed. And so when He spoke it by the mouth of Isaiah here, or Jeremiah rather, the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word. Now this was what He was to proclaim, standing in the gate of the Lord's house. In its application today, I believe and understand it to be standing in the church, standing wherever the Lord calls His people to gather and enables His servants to stand, is to proclaim here this word. God said, you know, My word should not return to Me void, but should accomplish that which I send it. And so proclaim this word, not just any word. Jeremiah was to proclaim this word and say, hear the word of the Lord. It wasn't Jeremiah's word, but it was the word of the Lord through Jeremiah. And he was speaking at the command of the Lord. And he said, all ye of Judah, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah, that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. I've been concerned that you have too. And just this morning was called to my attention. That there is so many ungodly things that are being believed and preached in the world today. And every one of them, no doubt, would say this is in the name of the Lord, when so much of it is in direct contradiction to a thus saith the Lord. But that matters not, because all the world runs after false gods and false doctrines. It is incumbent upon those unto whom the Lord has spoken in their hearts, and especially those who stand publicly to proclaim the word of the Lord and to preach the gospel, that they should insist upon and declare, hear the word of the Lord, and not just hear anything. I'm so concerned at times I really don't know how to express what I feel, because I hear many times, as you would hear too if you listen to your radio, and sometimes on television, you would hear men getting up in high places among the religious people of the world, the churches of the world, and professing to be preaching the gospel, and 90%, if not 100% of it, is the things that pertain to everlasting life, to natural life, and forgetting the things pertaining to the gospel and the Son of God. I say, my brethren, that there's a time, and I believe there's a time for us in our living, everyday living, to talk about political things, to talk about things which pertain to us as we live naturally here. But when we come to worshiping God, we assemble ourselves in the house of God, in the meeting houses, desiring and professing to be worshiping God. What we should be, and I feel that what all of those whom the Lord leads are concerned with, they thus saith the Lord. There's a time, there's a place for us to consider natural things, but it isn't in the church, it isn't in the meeting house. It isn't when we are gathered together to worship the Lord out of God. And so we see, my brethren, friends, that Jeremiah was to call the attention of the brethren, as he did here in the sixth chapter. And there's another, thus saith the Lord, in the same connection. He said, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your soul. I regret, my brethren, that among even the old school Baptists, in many places, those who, I don't question their experience, I don't question that, I don't want to question anybody who professes and who has been taught of the Lord and who has been brought out of darkness into the marvelous light of the Son of God so far as salvation by grace is concerned. But I've been concerned about many of them. It seems to me, and I can only express what it seems to me, have not been brought fully out, and I don't know the reason why. Because everyone who has been brought fully out knows that he is dependent upon the grace and the mercy of the Lord for everything. And yet some will tell us, boldly tell us, boldly say, that we will be blessed for our doing good, and if we will receive numerous blessings for these things that we do. And I'm not able to see, to save my life, how that any who had been brought to the end of his own strength and made to cry unto God to have mercy and pity and compassion upon a poor sinner, how that he can feel that the Lord being gracious to him, then he is able to do things for which he will be blessed. I don't understand it, brethren. Because the whole import of the matter in the scripture says that all of our blessings are restored in Jesus Christ. And my understanding is, I might say my belief is, and yet I might believe things sometimes that are not right, but my belief is that all these blessings that he had for you were stored in Jesus. And when the time comes and the eternal will and the purpose of God, that his blessings should be poured out upon you, it will not be because you have done some work, not be because you have done something to deserve them, but because of that same grace and that same mercy that brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so therefore, my brethren, that is a thing that some who profess to be, and I don't question, but what they have been brought into, they not into the truth thus far. But I say some other things that I run into things or am concerned with things often that perhaps you're not. But I had a letter from an elder way out in the Midwest somewhere, or in the far west, rather, and he'd been reading his signs for a year or two, and he took me to task, takes the signs to task, because that we believe and preach, he said, I almost believe that you advocate the absolute predestination of all things. And he didn't. And he said, and went on for two or three closely written pages, trying to prove his point, in saying that if we believed it were true that God absolutely predestinated all things, then God surely is the author of sin. That thought is so ridiculous, my brethren, that I don't know how far he's been preaching, he says, among the primitive Baptists for a long time. And I've heard of him, never met him. But I don't know, I hope that he has been brought to be given a hope of eternal life. But I don't see how that anybody, having been brought to see himself as he is and to be dependent upon the grace and the mercy of God, how that he can ever feel that God only controls some things that take place in this world and does not control them all. So, my friends and my brethren, there are so many places, so many scriptures that prove that God is supreme, that many cases where we find things that we, you and I, would feel and others would feel, that they are evil things. And yet the Lord has been in the whole matter. Now you take when Joseph was sold into Egypt by his brothers, they meant to get rid of the boy. They didn't want him. He was a dreamer. And they didn't want anything to do with the dreams that he'd had. And so to get rid of him, they sold him down into Egypt. Now that's a terrible thing, wasn't it? So far as we can understand in our flesh. Terrible thing that the brothers should so hate another brother, a young brother, younger brother, that they wanted to get rid of him and sold him into slavery. You recall the many grievous things that Joseph went through with while he was in Egypt. And yet God had a purpose in sending him there. Now my understanding is, and I contend with the fact, that God did not, and he did not have to, cause that these brothers should sell this younger brother into slavery into Egypt. Because it was in their own hearts, the hatred was in their own hearts against their brother, and they were but carrying out that evil principle, that devilish principle that was in them. But the end of the matter is, as you recall, that God overruled. Yea, God had a purpose in the whole matter, that Joseph should save much people alive after he had suffered many ignominious, terrible things at the hands of men and devils while he was in Egypt. And yet, he said to his brethren, ye meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. The same thing we would talk about Judas betraying Christ. I believe that Judas betrayed Christ because he was a thief. It says he was a thief. He carried the bag, and that 30 pieces of silver looked like a whole lot of money to him. Not having the love of God in his heart, apparently, and conniving with the high priest there, and bargaining with them to give him 30 pieces of silver, and he betrayed the Christ, the Lord. The one that he had been with, and all the apostles and the disciples had been with them for these 2 or 3 years. And yet he betrayed him. Yes, but what was the end of it? What was the reason? Well, it was also for the saving of much people alive, wasn't it? Yes, because Peter, upon the day of Pentecost, standing there, he that had so lately denied his Lord and said he didn't know him, cursed, you remember, I don't know the man. And yet after he had been converted, as the Lord said, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And when he, having denied his Lord, and he saw the Lord looked at him, and Peter wept bitterly, you recall. And yet it was in this experience that he learned, in this experience he was converted in the sense in which the scriptures talk about it. He was converted from self-confidence, self-reliance, self-works, unto realizing that he could not stand himself, though he was fully determined, as far as this place was concerned, to stand and to fight with the Lord at even. He said he would go with him unto death. But you see the weakness of the flesh. Peter didn't know how weak he was. And yet he didn't know how strong he was either, because after he was converted, after he had learned his weakness and the power of God, he, upon the day of Pentecost, by and through the Spirit of our God, he stood there in the very presence, face to face, in the very teeth, is the scriptural expression, and cried unto those and declared unto those that had put the Lord to death, that you have with wicked hands crucified and slain. All because the Lord of glory, according to the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God the Father. But my thought is, my brethren, and the scriptures uphold it, that Judas betrayed him because he was a thief. He didn't need that he should be made to do it. But in some sense, it said that Satan entered into him. It wasn't the Lord that entered into him and caused him to betray the Lord and Master. But Satan entered into him, and therefore he betrayed. But it was all according to the eternal will and the purpose of our God. How many times have you, my friends, brethren, how many times have you been brought through many straits, many things that you couldn't see the end? I don't know what's going to be the end of these things. I'm terribly concerned about them. I'm upset about them. I don't know what's going to be the end. I don't know how I'm going to meet certain things. And yet somehow, hasn't the Lord always provided for you? Hasn't he always caused you to have rejoiced when you were mourning, couldn't see how? But hasn't he always brought you through? And then you look back, like one of old said, the Lord was in the place, and I knew it not. I would, my brethren, if I could, and although I can't speak in my own heart often in these matters and cause myself to feel that the Lord is there, but I would if I could. I speak in such a way today that I could say to you that the Lord is always with you. I have thought, I saw in my mind's eye some years ago, made a feel that as we walk through this valley of tears and sorrows and afflictions, that somehow, I remember our little grandson, the oldest grandson, when he was just a baby. He liked to walk around the rock when we took a walk with the goat. He liked to hold onto my hand. And I thought about it, maybe then, I don't know when, but I thought about it, thus it is with us. The Lord, in his infinite wisdom and power and glory, and because he loved us, he takes us, he hauls us by the hand, so that all of our goings forth, he's with us. Through our trials, or in our trials, our tribulations and sorrows and afflictions, the Lord is there, because he's everywhere present. I mentioned in prayer, we come before an invisible God, and yet an invisible God who is always there, here and there and everywhere, beholding and knowing full well what his people need, and he gives them what they need, so that when we are brought to see the end of the matter, we can say, the Lord was there. The Lord was there, and I didn't know it, but he was there. But I want to get back to here, if I can, my brethren, that we should not pay any attention to what the doctrines of men are. They're plausible sometimes to the natural man. But the only way that we can ever know, or anybody ever knows the truth, is not by studying. I know people who said, I've read this book 2, 4, 5 times, all the way through. I've tried to read it all the way through, but I never get all the way through it one time, so. Because there were things that I couldn't, some way just couldn't be interested in. And I'd have to leave off and skip through and read something else. Well, you could read this, and I know I've heard a lot of people that could quote a good portion of the Bible. But if his knowledge is only what we might call head knowledge, natural knowledge, if that's all we know, We'll never know what the Spirit says unto the churches. But it is, if it is true, that God reveals, and that's the only source of the truth, the knowledge of the truth, is by the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've never, my brethren, in all of my days, tried to appeal to the wisdom of men and tell them that it's here for you, as I've heard others say, that it's here for you, if you just get it out, if you just read it and just obey it. But I've never been able to say that, because I feel in some way, my brethren, if I'm not mistaken in the matter, that I have thought much in the same way that Jesus said unto Peter, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hasn't revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." I know that there was a time, and as a young boy, a time in my life, and I was well satisfied and thought I could do many things. I didn't know myself really then. But as I have said sometimes to you, no doubt, there came a time when the Lord stirred me up. And instead of feeling that I was able to do that which I thought that was necessary in the Lord to bless me, He brought me to the place that I utterly felt that I had no strength, no goodness, nothing in me but a poor, vile, hell-deserving sinner. And it's not an imagination. The experiences of large people are not just imaginary things. They're reality. They're real things. They're things in which the Lord from heaven sends forth His Spirit into the hearts of His people. And He brings them into the knowledge of the truth. And this is the only way. There are not a half a dozen ways, but only this one way. And if the Lord speaks, He always brings condemnation. That's the first thing. He opens up His, "You have been quickened," the apostle said, "who were dead." He opens up the fact that you're dead, and He quickens you to know that. But He doesn't leave you there. He brings you forth, He brings you unto a new birth, or the spiritual birth, in which He reveals to you that Jesus is the Son of God, and that He is your Savior. Some time ago, I was talking about these matters, and I said, the only way that you know Jesus, anybody can ever know Jesus as being the Son of God, and consequently the Savior of men, Savior of the Lord's people, is as if the witness has been implanted within you. That's the only way. If you have the witness to the truth as it is to Jesus in your heart, and you hear somebody preaching or somebody talking about how good and merciful and gracious and long-suffering the Lord is, if you have that witness within you, you will say, "Amen." That's the truth. But if you have the witness that the Lord has been gracious and merciful to you, and you hear somebody else saying that the Lord demands that we do certain things, and He will bless us if we do certain things, you don't have a witness to that, do you? Consequently, you cannot say amen to those things. That the whole matter lies, my brethren, in this very fact, that God must, and He always does, reveal the truth as it is in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He reveals it unto His people. He doesn't just throw it out as I have sometimes used the word, promiscuously. The world would say that the gospel is preached, and that whosoever hears it, whosoever will believe it, it is thrown out promiscuously. And whosoever believes will be, and accepts it will be saved. But my brethren, the Lord doesn't do that. No, but He sends forth His Spirit into the heart, into the individual hearts of His people. And He teaches us individually. That isn't to say, my brethren, to deny the fact that sometimes, as I have been sometimes in associations and meetings and hearing the brethren preach, that I have witnessed that it is the truth, and my brethren and friends all around me. Isn't that a wonderful and glorious thing? It doesn't deny that, but in the bringing to the knowledge of the truth, it's an individual matter. He deals with individuals. Now the great question is with you, it's with me. We call ourselves, call our own experience into question many times. One said, study to show thyself approved unto the Lord. And I believe that we study. We studied to show ourselves approved, not study to prove ourselves unto the Lord in that sense, but study. That is, we recount the merciful dealings of the Lord with us, and finding, as we are given to look back over, contemplate the way the Lord has brought us and said, well, he was merciful there. And it strengthens our hope, doesn't it, brethren? It strengthens us so that we live from day to day in hope and in contemplating, rejoicing in the wonderful and glorious things that the Lord has taught us. But the whole thing, the whole matter is, has the Lord taught us? That's the question, isn't it? I love to hear that, although we might think it's a terrible thing to have to call into question whether with the experiences we had 20, 30, 40 years ago or recently, whether these things are truly from the Lord or not. And yet, my brethren, it is so wonderful that the Lord teaches us and leads us in such a way that it says, take heed when you think you stand, lest you fall. For a long time I have been brought to this conclusion, that any person who believes truth and knows the truth, had the truth revealed to him, and if he calls it into question, wondering, doubting, fearing, trembling sometimes, whether indeed and in truth the Lord has ever spoken to me or not, I believe that's the best evidence in the world that the Lord has spoken to you. Because he that is justified by his own works, he that feels like I have been helping the Lord, I have done lots of things for the church, he doesn't question that, not as long as he can keep on feeling that he is working for the Lord and help spreading the gospel. He's not going to question it. Only those, my brethren, who have the matter in their hearts, and they realize it's so deep, so wonderful, so glorious, that I wonder if the Lord should ever look upon such a vile, ungodly sinner as I am. Is that your experience? If it has, if it is, and you've come through these things, I would give you this word of comfort. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Yes. And whom he loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. For if we be without chastisement, it's an evident fact that we're bastards and not sons. So if you're with chastisement, and sometimes you feel like that you have so many doubts and fears, may God give you grace to remember that he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And if you love to hear the gospel proclaimed in its purity, the power of God, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, whom the Father sent here to redeem his people from their sins, and that his people are all of those that were included, are chosen, are elected in the Son before the world began by God the Father. If you love to hear those things, it's because the whole matter is in your heart, and you know the truth. And knowing the truth shall make you free. Make you free from all self-righteousness. Make you free from trying to work yourself into favor with God. Make you free from ever trying to do things in which you feel like the Lord will bless you if you will do them. Yes, you're brought not to Mount Sinai, not to hear the thunderings of the law which said, the soul that sins shall die, not that you've been brought there, but now you've been brought to Mount Zion. Yes, the church of the living God, and brought to there to where you've seen the joy, the peace, and the comfort of those who testify that the Lord has been gracious and merciful unto them. And so, my brethren, these are the things. Oh, I would, if I could, I would proclaim nothing except what the Lord has proclaimed himself. Thus saith the Lord. And as long as we have, for whatever doctrine, whatever experience that we have, if we find it in his word, not to say it's also in our hearts, if we find it in his word, that thus saith the Lord, we may be sure that it's right. But if you have some pet theory, if you have something that seems to be right, to you, and you think, well, it couldn't be wrong. But if you don't find it, thus saith the Lord, for it, you better let it alone. Because the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, not in any way whatsoever. He's not slack. The Lord knoweth him that his. But he also is not slack in my brethren, in bringing to your understanding and to your knowledge all the things that are necessary, as he thinks, as he sees, God sees, as necessary in your life to bring you, to make you what you are today. You know, have you ever thought when the old prophet said, who makes thee to differ? What hast thou that thou hast not received? Have you ever thought that it is by the grace of God? Yes, I'm going to say this. By the grace of God that you're here today. By the grace of God, you're interested in these things. The apostle said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. He was a learned man. I suppose that in his day we might say that he was, he surpassed his teacher. And so far as human wisdom is concerned, he knew all of these things, Greek, Hebrew, probably Latin, I don't know. But anyhow, he was a learned man, a doctor of the law, member, as I understand it, of the Sanhedrin court. And yet with all of his human wisdom, all of his human understanding, he didn't know the Lord. He thought he did. He didn't know God. He thought he did. He did not believe in that day that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. He did not believe that Jesus, after he was crucified, arose from the dead. He didn't believe such as that. No. And in reality, my brethren, today, unless that witness is within, in reality today, men can't actually believe that Jesus was the Christ and arose from the dead. They can't believe it. They may admit it from a historical standpoint. And yet from all the writings in your colleges, and many of the columnists in the newspapers, a few of them, are being given to show, my brethren and friends, that these things that men have called religion are false things. You see it sometimes from sources that you're surprised at seeing it at. Amen. But the Lord knows, and the Lord has a reason for it. Just reading a little bit this morning, how that, and a few days ago, reading how that questionnaire was sent out to 5 or 6 or maybe 10 of the leading churches and organizations in the world today. And they asked them a lot of questions. And do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe in the virgin birth of the Son of Jesus? And you'd be surprised at how many came back, I don't believe it. And yet they were professing to be preachers of the gospel. Another question was, do you believe that Jesus Christ actually bodily died and rose from the dead? You'd be surprised to know how many of those who professed to be preaching the gospel said, I don't believe that. And yet they're called Christian preachers, ministers of the gospel, denying the things that God himself has said. And so, my brethren, we're in a terrible shape. I think the end of time is coming, fast coming. I don't know how long. I used to couldn't see it. But I see now that things are waxing worse and worse. The Lord said they should wax worse and worse. And the end should be coming. The man of sin should be revealed. And I see, my brethren, the workings among the various churches. I see those things working so that the man of sin is being revealed and showing that he knows nothing. Now all of those who connected with him know nothing of the grace and the mercy of God. And all of our daughters, my brethren and friends, who have not been brought to the knowledge of the truth, they're joining forces and joining house to house, land to land, so that they're going to have one great church, and they want to take charge not only of the churches in the world, the religious doctrines and the religious worship, but they want to take charge of the natural countries, political Politics, they want to control politics, and that's what they're trying to do. I've said sometimes, I thought often, that I don't know who, of course, because the Lord has many of his people. No question about it in my mind. He has many people among the isms and the ites of the world. The Lord knows them. We don't know them. But the Lord does know them. And I have thought, my brethren, that any religion, any organization, if it seems right to them, they might well join together, although there may be some little differences in their order and a little bit of difference maybe in some of the doctrines. But basically, they all believe the same thing. And I believe that every one of those who have been taught of the Lord and know his grace and his mercy and his power and his glory, every one of those who have been made to hear the word of the Lord and to love it and to believe it, and to hear what the Spirit says unto the churches, I don't believe that any of them shall be able conscientiously to join in with them. But they may have to, and I believe the church will have to stand alone. And may God give us grace, all of his people, wherever they may be. Give us grace, my brethren, and in the midst of all the blasphemous doctrines and practices of the world, that the Lord's people may stand even in the face of death, as many of them have over the years, and still proclaim the power of God, the grace of God, the doctrine of God, and thus call the attention to, hey, thus saith the Lord in all of these things. So, brethren, we think it's terrible, sometimes we do. The lawlessness that's going on in the world, I don't know what the end's going to be, of course. But I do know this, I'm satisfied of this, and sometimes I'm so glad that I've been given to believe and know this is the truth, that the Lord is yet ruling, he is yet reigning in heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and somehow that these things that we see now are accomplishing the things that God determined before the world began, and he will put a stop to it, he will bring an end to it, when he has accomplished all of his eternal and declared purpose that he has in all things. Now, scattered along, my brethren and friends, I realize that, but may God give you grace. I sometimes don't like to get onto some of these things, but if I don't, when I'm so impressed with it, and I wonder who in these days and times is the Lord's people, are not blessed to speak of them, who will? Who will speak of them? May God be with you. Now may we turn to the last hymn on page 168, if you will. While we sing, we announce the door. Well, the church is open for the reception of members. Should be anyone present who are impressed and know that you believe these things and rejoice in them, you love the brethren, you love the doctrine, we say, may the Lord resolve your fears, because I know that you feel unworthy, but your worthiness we remember is only in the Lord. Now to thy praise, eternal King, be all my thoughts employed. While of this precious truth I sing, cast down but not destroyed. Page 168, let us stand and sing.
Now to thy praise, eternal King, be all my thoughts employed. Cast down, but not destroyed.
Lord, we give thee thanks that thou hast brought us together one more time. We have often felt the winter time is in our hearts, but we're looking forward, O Lord, when thou art pleased to cause that the voice of the turtle shall be heard in the land. Go thou with us, Father, as we depart. Choose our changes for us and give us grace, which shall be sufficient for our need. And may thy name have all praise forever and ever. Amen.